In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Father Martin. Today we're going to talk about the conversion of St. Paul. I'm looking at the 8th chapter of Acts, and it is verse 1. "That day a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison." Chapter 9. "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he found any who belonged to the way," that's Christianity, "men or women, he might bring them round to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' He asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' The reply came, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days Saul was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to Ananias in a vision, 'Ananias answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight Street, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to him to lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way here, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And so we have the word of the Lord telling us about the conversion of Saul, who is Paul.
The persecution, it's always a favorite place for the conversion. It's always a place of growing, and I believe it's a place chosen by God for the church. It sounds sometimes very, very hard, but that reminds me a little bit the story of the Trappist from Algeria who died in 96. A few weeks ago, they were beatified by Pope Francis. And, you know, there was a dark time of persecutions, and Muslims who came to the door of the Trappist Abbey in a little village, Tiberin, they opened the door, they broke into the abbey, and they found seven monks who were in prayer, waiting for those soldiers to come. And when one of this Muslim men told the superior, he said, "You have to help us now because we're gonna fight, and you're gonna come with us." And he said, "You have no choice. You have no choice. You have to help us." And the superior, Father Christian, he said, "No, I have choice." That's why they all died. They gave their lives in the darkest time of that war. And I just heard a few testimonies of Muslim people now who were witnesses of these events in 96. And I remember that they were really touched by the witness of those martyrs who gave their lives in the middle of the darkness. They were alone in the Muslim country. They had no help. They were just like a sheep among wolves, and they had no other hope but the risen Lord. And they were just waiting in prayer and in meditation, and they were fasting for the Christians there in this country. But God somehow he's choosing those places. Those places like Tiberin, and then he's revealing his glory, he's revealing his power in the midst of the weakness, of the human weakness. He's revealing his power and his resurrected power. And that's what happened in the life of the church at the beginning.
The word of God said, "I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." I tell you, he doesn't promise us sickness. He promises us persecution for the sake of the name of Jesus. You know why Christianity spread throughout the world? It started in Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and throughout all the ends of the earth. But it also was persecuted from Judea to Samaria throughout all the ends of the earth. Without persecution, they would have stayed in the upper room and died. They were moved to move. They had to move. Why? Because they were persecuted. And where they went to the continents, to what did they do? To preach the word of God. To preach the word of God. We have people that need our prayers today. They are the persecuted Christians that live among Muslims, that live among people who hate them. They're in China, they're in Africa, they're in the Middle East. And people today, as you hear my voice today and Father Martin's voice, they will suffer death because of Jesus Christ. And yet, they have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for.
Jesus, He's not scared of the hatred. He's not scared of division. And he's looking at everybody in the same way. That's a miracle of the conversion of St. Paul, that he's looking at him with the same love that he looked at the other apostles, with Peter and Mary Magdalene and his mother Mary. He's looking with the same love. That's amazing. In the midst of this craziness of Paul, he's experiencing the loving light of Jesus, and it's the love that is overshadowing all his sins. This mercy that is poured out from the heart of Jesus, it's touching the depths of his life. That's why, you know, nobody saw Jesus but Paul. They just heard his voice, but only Paul could see this light, because Jesus was enlightening all his life. In one moment, he was touching the depths of his heart, and he's removing all those sins. So he's ready for the baptism. It's probably shortest baptism preparation in the history of the church, because in a couple of hours, in a few days, 3 days, he was going to be baptized. And that's what happened at the moment when he met Jesus. He was ready. He was ready by grace, by this awesome grace of love that touched his heart. He was ready for new life, and everything changed in that very moment. Because when Jesus comes, everything changes. There's no more sin. There's no more sickness. There's no more pain. When Jesus comes, there is light. There is light and resurrection.
The whole story is about the love of God. From Genesis to Revelation is the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was blinded. Saul was blinded with the love of God. And you know what? He went to Straight Street and he prayed and fasted. Oh yes, he prayed and fasted. God had plans for this man. The scripture tells us that salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And we see that in Saul's life. Whenever he would go to preach, he would always start in the synagogue. Salvation is to the Jew first and then also to the Gentile. And because they rejected him, he'd go to the Gentiles. But you see, salvation today is to the Jew first, as well as to the Gentiles. I'm telling you, I have Jewish people who listen to me that have given their life to Jesus, and they did it in a secret way. I tell you, this is reality, the reality of radio, that people, that even Muslims listen to me today and listen to Father, what's your name? Father Martin today, that today God has a light that he wants to shine in us, through us, and for us. That life, like that light, is the Shekinah glory. Oh, how we need that light. How we need the light of God. How we need it. You see, so many people just think, well, this happened to Saul, but it can't happen to me. I tell you, God can do anything that he wants. He can do anything that he wants. He converted me in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He converted me through wildflowers. Oh, yes. I saw the light. I did. The light that was around those wildflowers. It was the Shekinah glory. I couldn't name it then, but I saw it. It was just Shekinah glory around those wildflowers. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you see these flowers? How much glory they give me? I said, yes, Lord. He said, how much more glory can you give me? You're a human being. I said, much, Lord. And I said, you can have my life. And you want to know what? He took me at my word. When I try to get out of giving my life to Jesus, he lets me suffer. Oh, yes. Suffering is part of the faith, but not suffering with sickness, but suffering because of persecution. I tell you, persecution should be happening in the United States soon. Soon and very soon. And Jesus says, when I come back to the earth, will I find faith in the church and in the world?
You know what really amazes me in this story of St. Paul is that Jesus, when he comes, he always requires just one thing. It's a surrender. It's a surrender. That's why he makes this strong man blind. For 3 days he was blind. He was weak. For 3 days he couldn't see. Because, you know, Jesus just wants us to be open. the same thing happened to Zechariah when he had the revelation of the angel in the temple. He was mute for 9 months. He was mute because God wanted him to be weak, just to receive. Don't struggle with the miracle. Don't struggle with salvation, just receive it. The same thing happened to Joseph. Joseph couldn't answer the call unless he was sleeping, and God put him to sleep just to reveal to him his will and his power. And I believe it's the same thing with us. When I came to the Lord, the first thing that happened to me, it was I just fall in, it was on the floor here in the Holy Rosary Church. I was just laying down on the floor, and I couldn't move. It was like this surrender. It was like a surrender in the glory of God that it's much more powerful than our work, than our rationality, our rational thoughts. Our surrender is more important. It's much more important now. So when you listen to this story of Paul, you have to realize it's all by grace. It's all by grace. It's not by strength. It's not by your power. It's not by your mind. It's not by your deeds. It's only by the grace.
It is the grace of God that leads us on. We need the grace of God. You know what? The church should not be like the world. We should be raising our money through the proclamation of the gospel. I believe that. You see, if we taught tithing, we wouldn't have to do what the world does. If we taught tithing and people said, you know what? The first tenth of my work will go to the church. I tell you, we'd have more money than what we need. But we've not taught tithing. And people, you know, I've found since we've been in the rectory, because the church is being fixed with the electricity and the boiler is being fixed, I found somebody who gave a dime. Now, maybe that was the widow's mite, but I doubt it. I doubt it. You see, a dime, a dollar, maybe you need to keep it yourself. You need it more than God needs it. It's the first tenth of our salary we give to the Lord. And you see, that shows that I'm surrendered with my money. I'm surrendered with my money, you know? God wants his people to be surrendered. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. My voice is gone, but I'm doing the best I can. This Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. God raised him up to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, those people that are not Jews. And he went throughout the world preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said in Corinth, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. When he went to Corinth, I tell you, he could have told them, I have miracles to tell you. I want to tell you about all these great miracles. He said, no, I'm going to preach the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, that is true for today. We should be preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead.
And another message of St. Paul, very important, I believe, is a message of unity. Today we start the prayer for the unity of the church. It's really in my heart today, this intention. We are praying at Mass today for the unity of the Christians, because we know that Paul, he was sent to all nations. He was sent to all churches. And that's why we celebrate this week, starting now. And we really bring it in our hearts today, this desire of Jesus. He said that, during the Last Supper in 17th chapter of John, verse 21, he said, I have this desire, I have the dream, that my disciples will be one, the church will be one, and it's the dream that it's really real. It's not just a fairy tale. It's a real desire of Christ, and it's a real desire of Paul to have one church, not divided, not struggling because of division, but one church in prayer, one church in fasting, one church in giving. And that's the real prayer of the church today. You know, I belong to the community that it's Catholic, but with ecumenical vocation. So we pray with brothers and sisters of different denominations, Orthodox and Anglican and Protestants and Evangelicals and all you know, different denominations. So we work in the Anglican Church, for instance. We are present in a Lambeth Palace in London, and we pray with Archbishop of Canterbury for the unity of the church. We pray with Orthodox Church. We pray in Petersburg. We pray in Moscow. We have couples there who meet and pray on daily basis for the unity of the church. And what's interesting, what's amazing for me, that when we are together, we work together, when we share gospel together, we are really brothers and sisters. We don't need to discuss all the issues at once. We just have to be together. We just have to spend time together. Just, you know, even if it sounds a little crazy, but we have brothers and sisters from different denominations that come to the Eucharist. They come to the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament because they believe. Then in the community there is a mystery. Mystery in the community, there is a mystery of the unity. So Paul today he invites us to this prayer, to be united, to be together in Christ, to proclaim the gospel. You know, in the mission countries there is no division because they give their lives. They know the price, and they are not divided. They support each other. They pray for each other. In the persecuted church, there is no division. This church is united by the blood of Christ.
Father, that they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they would be completely one in us, that the world might know that you sent me. I tell you, the world does not know that the Father sent Jesus. Why? Because of the division. And I just want to remind you something. God multiplies, he never divides. God multiplies, he never divides. And I'm telling you, we need unity, and we're going to need it more in the years to come, because there's going to be great persecution in the United States. You say, how do you know? The Lord told me many years ago there's going to be great persecution. And how many of us will endure that persecution? We can't get people to come to Mass. Imagine if they were persecuted, if they said, you're not going to get your Social Security check if you believe in Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you, so many people would say, well, I don't need Jesus. I need my Social Security check. This is sad. This is sad. While brothers and sisters throughout the world are dying and suffering for the sake of the cross, death, burial and resurrection of Jesus. This is sad. Well, we can't even get people to come to church. I was saying just yesterday, you know, it was all right for us to say Merry Christmas this year. I tell you, we need more than Merry Christmas. We need to be bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim God's word in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. We need unity, the unity of the saints in Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. He died for you. He wants to fill you with that Shekinah glory, that light that surrounded St. Paul and permeated his heart. He wants to fill you. You just say, come, Lord Jesus, come. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.